This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning opening night for the NFL. We cannot wait. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. It's going to be popping behind me at Circus Sports here in Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. I know you're getting ready for tonight, tomorrow night as well in Melbourne. We'll be having a little sleep deprivation, but for a very good reason here for the NFL. Going to debut the Moneyline Marathon coming up in a little bit. You can play along with us at home. We're going to tell you our bankroll sizes here and the plays that we have for those money lines here in week number one. The great Wes Reynolds joins the program as well with our best bets. And I do have a Jensen Lewis inspired cross-board parlay that I've added to the show as well. So that's all coming up, Jensen. But we know what goes up must come down. Let's get to it. This week's edition of Stock Up and Stock Down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's Stock Up, Stock Down.
Boy, sometimes you're betting those first halves. You want to win the coin toss. You've won it this week, Jensen. You have elected to receive your first Stock Up. Is whom?
Circa Millions. I cannot wait. We obviously were one of the trailblazers here to do a joint entry for the show and the content back for year two on the joint entry. My first year going solo as well, and very excited to be able to debut our first of many top tens that we will reveal in real time. It's one of the great exercises on the network. We appreciate those that have tailed many of our selections and made a large profit during football season. We hope to give you that opportunity again this year. For what it's worth, congratulations, Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, Jeff Benson, the entire crew there at Circus Sports. The Circus Survivor, as of what, 24 hours ago, already over the 20 million guarantee.
Yes.
The Grandissimo already over for the guarantee. And I'm sure it's gone up since then. Maybe the boys in Vegas can tell us in the break. We are at 4,700 plus entries right now for Circa Millions. So we're almost there for the guarantee on that. So 30 million was the guarantee. I think we're going to get there probably by kickoff, I think, on Sunday. So Circa Millions, Stock Up.
Yeah, I cannot wait. And again, as we've said here, it is simply the greatest football contests in the world. And I'll put those up against anybody's out there. It's in that same vein, Jensen. It's just the NFL. And our buddy Tyler Foljam does a great job at ESPN these days. Tyler said to me years ago that the NFL is America's drug. And it really is. It's the best way to phrase it. We need it. We got to have it. And we're going to watch it. And we're going to bet it. And the NFL is back in our lives tonight. I kid about the sleep deprivation. I don't care because I'm going to watch anyway, regardless. This is what the NFL means to this country, what it means to us as sports fans out there, and certainly as bettors. So we can't wait to kick this thing off tonight here. And as a network as well, I mean, that's what VSiN is. I mean, we love this. We love football. We love betting it. And we're going to try to make it profitable for you as well. So the NFL is back in our lives and we could not be happier. I hope one day it doesn't go by the way of boxing or horse racing, which were once kings in this country. The NFL is king and I hope it stays there for a long, long time. Yeah, they got issues. And we'll talk about those issues too, because we'll argue about the ones we love. But the NFL is king in this country, and I hope it remains so for quite some time.
All right, before we get the games kicked off, Dave, there is an American tradition unlike any other, and that's tailgating. In the art form that is tailgating, it has really evolved since the dawn of time. I don't know what the cavemen did, but I'm sure it was similar to getting everyone around the fire, getting everyone together and having times of joy, whether you do it as an amateur, whether you do it as a professional, everywhere in between. Mile high salute to you. Today begins the professional side. I am anxious to see what the Australians do. Down under, what is their version of tailgating? Will there be American infusion? Will there be fusion of dishes and frivolity and some Foster's beer? There is going to be a lot of love around the tailgate tents. And so stock up to all of you men and women who brave the elements, both warm, cold, and all in between. You are the heroes that we don't deserve, but you are the heroes that we need each and every week.
You know, you've got some great friends out there, Jensen, and a lot of times we'll talk on the phone as well, but sometimes we'll FaceTime too, especially if it's a group setting. We want to see each other's face. And I've got one of those great friends. That's Tim Doyle. He loves to FaceTime me, right? He doesn't like to call. He wants to FaceTime. And so we see each other and talk face to face. And he puts his young son on the phone yesterday, and Vince the Prince, as we call him, Vinny, who's I think he's like three now. I don't know. I can't keep track of these kids these days, Jensen. And he says, "Who's your favorite player?" And I'm like, "Does this kid even know baseball?" And he goes, "PCA." And I'm like, "Oh my goodness, Pete Crow Armstrong, your stock is so up that we got three-year-olds in Chicago calling out your name. These are going to be like generational players now for all time for kids growing up in Chicago. That's what Pete Crow Armstrong, he's going to win the MVP. This is kind of insane if you go back to the beginning of the year and think about where he has come. And his stock cannot be higher. Is he the best defensive center fielder in the game? I think you can make a strong case that he is. What does he mean to the Cubs? Everything. Where'd they get him? New York in a trade for Javier Baez. Don't remind me. But when three-year-old Vince the Prince says, "PCA," I'm going to get that daily reminder that the Cubs have a guy that should be in New York right now, and he's going to win an MVP in Chicago, the North Side. Your stock has never been higher, and it can't get any higher for PCA. Now, Jensen, what does go off, it does sadly have to come down. Now, whoa, have it come down yet in LSU and Baton Rouge? What happened to the Clemson Tigers? Well, 51-10? Is it the worst loss for Dabo Swinney? And look, I'm not going to get on Dabo too badly for what happened after the game, right? Before the game, he had a lot of things to say about Lane Kiffin and LSU and what they're doing over there. Well, then I had to change my tune a little bit because he was asked a question that I think is a fair question to ask about where Dabo is in 2026 football and how he puts his team together. Take a listen to this Q&A.
I don't, man. I regret being 0-1 right now. I regret that. But no, what can you ask me that at the end of the season? You know, the season ain't over. I mean, we got one game, we got 11 more. What if we go 11-1? You promise me you'll ask me that then?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'll answer it.
Yeah.
All right. But I'm not answering questions like that, you know, Chapel. I know that's your role, and that's in this environment, you know, to be the guy that wants to create all the controversy and ask the controversial questions. If that's who you are, that's fine. I get it, but I'll answer that in the seat. We played one game. All right. Did you play football?
No.
Okay. Well, they give you 12 games, and at the end of the year, you count them up.
I like Dabo, but when you do the old "did you play football" thing, that reeks of I'm out of an argument here, and now I'm going to do a personal attack, Jensen. You know, look, as a former player, you could always do that, right? You know that because you played the game. Dabo played the game at a very high level at Alabama too, and he's coached at the highest level of two national championships. That's not a good look, Dabo. You don't need it. Sadly for you, right now your stock is way down.
All right, I'll go quickly on my first stock down. The Detroit Tigers, man, put them to bed. The Cleveland Guardians did over the weekend. Three walk-off losses in four games. And, of course, they go out and beat the Twins the first game back home. Outside of Seattle, most disappointing team in Major League Baseball this year. All the expectations, all the things they could have done, a very winnable American League Central. Don't know what the future looks like for this group. You have flashes of what could be great, what could not be. I think Detroit has some questions to answer this offseason. A very disappointing finish to 2026.
Yeah, my last stack down right now is going to be Florida State. And I hate to kind of pick on them a little bit too here, Jensen, because after what happened with Clemson, as bad as that looked, you know, Florida State didn't look as bad, but SMU did everything to give them the game. And they still couldn't win it. And then you get the boost from Mike Norvell, year number 7 there. It's a proud university. You got a lot of good friends there that play there. Certainly Brian McFadden comes to mind here. And the alumni are not very happy about what's happening there. I don't know if Deion Sanders is the right guy one day to come back to Florida State, but Jensen, they need something. This is not good for a blue blood in college football like Florida State to be this down in the ACC. It's one thing to be down in the Big Ten or in the SEC, but this down in the ACC, that is not good news for Florida State. Your stock is way down.
Dave, we do all kinds of things as men for the women we love. If you go back in time, wars were started for those gentlemen that believed they could show strength, honor, fortitude, things that were enticing, attractive to females out there that say, yeah, you know what? I want to build a life with you. We are now in a position come football season where a crossroads of our time presents itself each year. Uh-oh. The weekend asks to go to pumpkin patches or apple orchards. Now, for you gentlemen and for you ladies that are listening out there, because it does go both ways.
Yes.
When that ask is made, and I know children could be involved and maybe you've got family outings, things of that nature. I'm anxious to hear negotiations. If you want to email us, buythebooks@vsin.com. If you are someone that has had to deal with this most incredibly difficult life decision, do I go to the pumpkin patch or do I stay home and watch the football game? Do I go to that apple orchard with the girl that I really like, or do I have to let her down easy and say, I don't know about you, but this late window has so much action. I can't afford to miss it. So to you ladies and gentlemen out there that do the right thing and save those apple orchard and pumpkin patch outings for the middle of the week when there is no football scheduled, mile high salute to you. But let's not bury the lead. This is the worst time of the year for those activities to happen. Stock way down. Love pumpkins. Love apples. Just don't need to go do all that stuff on a football Saturday or Sunday.
I am a published author of Dynasty Restored through the eyes of their number one fan. And in the book, I did mention that I have skipped many a wedding and many a pumpkin patch and apple orchard outing. And yes, it's cost me sometimes. And maybe it's the reason why I'm still single. When we come back, Moneyline Marathons. We're going to kick that off next right here on VSiN.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Got a lot to get to before we turn it over to Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidwin coming up next on A Numbers Game. We are going to get our best bets out there. Our Wednesdays with Wes Reynolds coming up here. But Jensen, we are so excited. We've been talking about it all summer. And we did it in conjunction with kind of what's going on with a lot of contests out there, whether it's Circa, Survivor, or the like. But a very new segment that you can play along with and profit from as well at home. It's time to debut our Moneyline Marathon.
Every winner earns another mile. Every loser ends the race. This is Moneyline Marathon.
Oh, I like it. Get that running man. If you remember that movie from Arnold Schwarzenegger back in the day.
Great.
So we're
going
to try to run that marathon. Now, Jensen, we wanted just to tell the people exactly what we're thinking in the context of this Moneyline Marathon, in that you can run it however you want to run it. We are not going to adhere to the Circa rules that you cannot repeat a pick. By all means, you can. We're going to try to make this as profitable as possible. But we're going to do the journey with you with real money that we're putting in as well, different increments that we're going to do. And we're going to try to figure out ways that maybe you want to stop. Maybe you want to take the cash out. You want to let it roll. You can go for as long as you want to go. But kind of four track plans that we're going to lay out to begin this marathon. Hopefully, we each go 4-0. We got more decisions to go in week two, but that's the way we're going to begin laying out our Moneyline Marathon. What do you have for the people, and how did you start this journey?
Yeah, so my mentality for this competition, for people that kind of want to see behind the curtain of where I wanted to make this a week to week, but a rollover in the spirit of a Survivor contest, yet not adhering to the hard and fast criteria of A, you can only pick a team once. B, if you lose, that doesn't mean we're done for the year. So you'll see my first selections, they're probably around even money, even more towards the dogs and a couple of them, one gargantuan swing to try and get out ahead by a very wide margin. Let me start with one with the Pittsburgh Steelers, -$1.60. I'm going to start each entry, Dave, with $100, and we're going to roll over the winnings each week. The Steelers at home against the Falcons, again, $100 to win $60. If we win that, we roll the $160 over into week two. Dolphins money line on the road against the Raiders. That is plus $1.63. So 100 to win 163.15 was the exact payout that I had. We win that. We roll that over. The big swing is the Cardinals. And if you're just joining us, you know that I have subscribed to the week one chaos theory. And I absolutely believe that if there is some issues with that offensive line for the Chargers, then maybe, just maybe, the Cardinals are that not only survivor bomb that goes off in week one, but that's a massive payday for us here to begin Moneyline Marathon. 100 to win 426.31. We win that, Dave. We're rolling over a cool 526.31 to week number two. Finally, week one ends at Arrowhead Stadium, and we get the Broncos and the Chiefs. You know me, I think the Broncos are back to defend. I think they do get to the top of the AFC West. It's got to start with a big divisional matchup against one of their rivals in the Kansas City Chiefs. So $100 to win 133, that would give us 233 rolling over. Now, in the spirit of Survivor, Dave, it's one selection per week. So this isn't a money line parlay each week, if you will. This is a rolling over of the money line, which eventually you can kind of see the thought process will end up being a parlay week over week. So again, I took some bigger swings early, more even money to underdog side. And of course, the Cardinals over 4-1. So here is the method to the madness here. Let's say, for instance, the Cardinals do not get across the line in entry number three. We'll restart in week two. It will be one single selection, and we'll restart that entry, because here's what we're hoping. Let's say we get to week eight, week nine. We've got a couple of these entries rolled over for various price points. At that point, you and I will have a discussion here, and we hope many of you will with us. Do we take some of the profit? Do we continue to let it ride? And if there is a team that has really gotten off to a great start, we are not bound by the only picking one team and then they're done. Mm-hmm. We can go back to the well. If we find a cash cow, we want to ride the highs with them, because, Dave, it's all about the money line here. It's not a spread. It's a money line marathon, rolling this over as many times as we can. And then we put the choice in our hands of how much profit do we want to take? Do we want to not take any at all? Do we want to keep riding this thing out? So our hope is that you guys kind of understand, yes, there's survivor DNA to this, because it is just one selection for each entry each week on the money line, but we are not bound by traditional survivor rules in this marathon competition.
And we want to pull back the curtain. When we started discussing this a couple months ago, my first thought process was to follow the Circa rules, right? To have almost like a show entry, but at a smaller, because Jensen and I have multiple plays out there in millions and other things, but we wanted to have that survivor feel to it. So I did it a little bit differently, and this is why I love what you did. And I did mine slightly differently here. And I just took one unit, just $100, and I broke that down into four plays of four equal denominations of $25. I did a much smaller scale, Jensen with a much larger scale. But think about Jensen. If he gets that Arizona home right away, technically, if he wanted to, Jensen could cash out right there and have three entries that are still rolling conceivably on house money, right? That's the idea as to why you're trying to do what you're trying to do. Mine's going to be a little bit slower of a build here early on. Now, my chance that I'm taking here in week one in my play here for Moneyline Marathon is Tennessee. And I've talked a lot about them on the program today. I've talked a lot about them on the program this summer. So my money is where my mouth is. I took two of my four entries and I played the Titans on a Moneyline price of minus $1.25. So that's not going to net me a whole lot coming back, $45, right? But what I'm hoping for, if I can kind of get them out, again, we don't have to adhere. You could play just the big favorites if you want to, a la the Jacksonville Jaguars, which will be a very popular choice in a lot of survivor leagues this week. But the return there is only $31.25. Not a lot of bang for the buck. But I wanted to take one quote-unquote safe entry in week one to get that through. And then, quote unquote, the riskier propositions would be the Steelers, only as 3-point favorites. But look at that. The money line price is still kind of hefty at minus $1.80. And Jensen and I align on the Steelers on one of our selections. But again, in theory, I'm going to try to map out different teams as the show goes in that survivor style that we're bringing to you here on VSiN by the Books. But to Jensen's point, we can pivot at any point. We're not bound to the Circus Survivor rules. So the idea is, I like Tennessee this week. So it's not just to make a play to make a play. I really like them to win this game. And that's why I've played them here at minus $1.25 for two of my four entries. Now, at some point, I'd like to only have to get back to plus 100 to eventually get your money back and then play on house money. I think we should be able to get there hopefully in a couple weeks' time. That's the goal. And the same scale, obviously, for Jensen's plays being at one unit each for his four plays. But that's the way I've papped it out, because I do, and we talked about it a lot in this program. I think week one is the most difficult to dissect. In Jim Mora voice, you think you know, but you really don't know. And you know what? You never will. Now, that was to a reporter, and I think we have a better idea of what's going to happen in week one, but I do think it's volatile. And that's why I've tried to space these out as best I can. So my track plan here for week number one is going to be half of my tickets, two of those tickets, on Tennessee to beat the Jets. And then I probably will not be coming back to Tennessee for a long time, if at all. Look for better options out there to monetize those tickets and start that money line marathon. The Jags I do like, but I got to be honest with you, this is not a team I'm very high on overall. So I'm willing to play that bigger price point this week and lay it against the Brownies here in week one. Look, Atlanta all summer. If you had asked me if you thought that I'd have one of those entries to be the Steelers, I would have said no a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. But the quarterback room for the ATL has me concerned. As the summer went on, I mentioned this obviously in the 2.0 betting guide here. This is a team I like more and more, and I've played their over 8.5 win total. I've played them outright to win this division, to go back-to-back with another Mike, Big Mike, instead of Mike Tomlin now and Mike McCarthy there. Jensen, those are the four track plans that I've taken. Two on Tennessee, one on Jacksonville, one on Pittsburgh, to get this money line marathon started. And boy, I hope in a couple weeks, we've already doubled our profit and have bigger fish to fry as the weeks continue. That's the idea of the money line marathon.
So the dream is to be alive at Thanksgiving, having rolled over. And I hope one of my entries, I'm going to try and be holding to as close to even odds as possible for each one.
Right.
If I can get through week 12, week 13, we have a chance at $1 million. And so that's the hope. Ooh. Is that if one of them, you can do it. And again, this is a week to week thing. This is the beautiful discussion. We're not worried about, hey, I got to pick one team. I'm trying to look for that opportunity to make six, hopefully seven digits. We're having fun with it, people. Good luck to start this week one. We hope you tail each and every week.
It's all about ROI. Come along on that Moneyline Marathon with Jensen and I. Our money is where our mouth is. Best bets are straight ahead. Next, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, and football season is back as well. So if you think you've got what it takes to battle it out with the pros, you can do so in the Average Joe contest. So all you have to do is, it's free to play when you sign up with an Edge Boost account. That's the Edge Boost Average Joe contest, and they're going to offer its customers a $1,000 deposit if you finish first for the week. So if you don't have an Edge Boost account, sign up at edgeboost.io, use the promo code VSiN, make sure your account is funded with at least $100. Enter the contest today at VSiN.com/Joe. That's VSIN.com/JOE. And it's the same format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational hosted by the great Matt Humans. And that is the one that the pros play. So if you've got what it takes, you too can no longer be average and be an expert like we have here at VSiN. We appreciate everybody that reaches out to us, whether it's social media or the like. You can email the show always at buythebooks@vsiN.com. Got some great inquiries today as well. We always ask, hey, where are you watching? Where are you listening to us from? And let us know what's on your mind today. This was an interesting email from Casey Cook. I think LSU, we've been talking a lot about LSU and the vote that's going to happen tomorrow, if the SEC might actually kick them out. Casey says, I think LSU might want out of the SEC anyway and become an independent like Notre Dame and play no one. Ooh, shots fired. Go 11-1 every year and waltz into the playoff. Not have to share the money any longer, et cetera. I think that's how delusional they are, and that the state and greed of college football is. They may be playing a strange game of chess. Casey, thank you for the email. I kid Tim Doyle, or Tim Murray, rather, here in the network every year about Notre Dame. You play nobody, you get in. Boy, they actually have a guarantee by the College Football Playoff Committee that they finish in the top 12, they're in. I mean, it's bizarre. We have that clause for one team out there. But if LSU wants to go rogue like Notre Dame, what do you make of Casey's point that, hey, maybe this would be better off in the long term for LSU?
Casey, I appreciate the creativity here, but it does mean more in the Southeastern Conference, both financially and status-wise. Notre Dame is eventually going to join a conference. That will happen, especially once we get to the expanded playoff. There's going to be changing dynamics. We may be down to just two super conferences when it's all said and done, but I appreciate the creativity of it. I do like that. LSU, not that kind of brand all across the way that people would be like, oh yeah, readily recognizable and followable the way Notre Dame is across the country. So, but I could see where Casey's coming from. No question about it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll find out. I think it's a whole to do about nothing. We'll find out if they're really playing this standoff here with the league. And it would be shocking with the first week of the NFL. We're talking about LSU being an independent come Friday. I don't see that happening, but stranger things have happened. We do appreciate all the emails and the texts. We got this from Jump Ball. It says at D Raw Sports, there's only 600 parking spots at the cricket grounds in Australia. Not sure how much tailgating, Jensen, as we alluded to early in the program, will be going on. LOL. We were kind of kidding about this, talking to Thomas Gable, who'll be on the program on Friday, as he always does, about how this is kind of a national holiday down there in Australia for the Rams and Niners. I know you like the Niners side, tailgating notwithstanding. It does feel like, could they have a home field advantage in Australia if that's possible?
Yeah, they definitely will. And again, you're not beholden to being in a parking lot at the stadium to tailgate. You can do it anywhere. All right.
Anywhere.
And I'm not worried about the bobbies that are going to be going on all over that great continent when we get to tomorrow morning and afternoon. So I do like the Niners. I did play them on the money line. I think we are going to get a crash course Friday morning on which of the preparation methods were best. Would it be the Niners getting out there for about a week's time? Would it be the Rams on Ram Force One? We appreciate them having VEASAN by the books tuned in on their Absolutely. Charter flight out to Melbourne. I think the Niners win the game. I think the Patriots win the game tonight. I do have Woo. Some other plays here, Dave. Let me also give you one on the college gridiron. And this line came up. Two teams in the flyover states that have started to develop a bit of a rivalry, and I'm sure many of them tuning in Kansas and Missouri, a little border war there. That I looked at the line, I'm like, I can get 6.5 with the Jayhawks. They both open with blowouts against FCS opponents, so no big deal. Austin Simmons actually looked pretty good. The Ole Miss transfer there for Missouri, 17 of 19 for 4 touchdowns. Mizzou did win in Columbia last year in this matchup, 42-31. This is the first time in Lawrence that they've met since 2005. I think Kansas keeps this close. I don't think they win. Give me like 27-24, 31-27. I think that is where I would put it for the Jayhawks. And then 3 dogs on the NFL week 1 slate to go with my other 2 underdogs already. Patriots plus $1.67 tonight. Niners plus $1.70 tomorrow against the Rams. Let me start. You and I on opposite sides of this one. Really, do we see a Lewis Ross administration at odds? But we will. I will take the New York Jets plus $1.14. It's a multi-unit play for me. I know the storylines. Robert Saleh. The revenge angle, his Titans debut, Cam Ward year 2 against Brian Daboll, with Brian Daboll against Geno Smith. Will Breece Hall be a guy that can be a difference maker? We hope that he is. Give me the Jets, a live dog there, plus $1.14. Also, the Miami Dolphins. This will be a very interesting survivor selection, Dave. You and I had kind of looked back and forth. You know, where would we be here? And in a week 1 of unpredictability, I will take the Dolphins plus $1.60. Not as clean for me as the Jets, but I still think that we have an opportunity with Jeff Hafley to come in. Malik Willis, the dynamic with him and Devon Achane. I think they do enough there to stay within a possession into the fourth quarter. Maybe it's that final drive. Malik Willis gets him across the line. I'll take the Dolphins to upset the Raiders plus $1.60. And finally, I know it's going to be a big survivor selection. A lot of people going to be on who's got it better than we do. Nobody. Guess what? It might be the Cardinals being better than the Chargers. Give me the Cardinals, biggest dog in week one, plus 443. Forget the points. Give me the money line. Let's go, wow. Jacoby Brissett. He might throw for 500 yards. He might have to throw for 500 yards to be able to beat the Chargers. But I think he and Trey McBride, I think Michael Wilson, fresh contract in there. Tyler Allgeier, come on down. You know, I know it's Jeremiah Love for the foreseeable future, but it's your time to shine. It's why they brought you in as a veteran. Let's see Jacoby Brissett air it out 45, 50 times. Cardinals with the big upset of week one in the NFL. They take out the Chargers on Sunday afternoon.
I got to tell you, I do think it's one of the best times to bet dogs here would be week one. Like, it didn't work out in college football. What a bit different, right, that we're seeing with the haves and the have-nots there. But here, these are all pros. They all put their pants on the same way here. And sometimes you're getting those good prices on teams we don't know all about yet. We think we know, but we really don't know. Good time to be a dog player there. The only one I'm rooting actively against, I do like the Titans here in week one. I actually played them when they were 2.5-point favorites here in week one against the Jets. This has come down. I'm going to rebet it at 1.5. I've got some money line plays in our money line marathon that we started today here on the program. So that is a big decision for me in week one on a team that this is the one I need to get if they're going to be who I think they are, which is over 6.5 wins. I'm banking on this one against the Jets. So really, Robert Saleh, Brian Daboll, that's who I'm banking on here to get this done against Aaron Glenn and company. I am on the under in Melbourne, under 49. You can still get that out there, 48.5. I still think that's very playable. I think you have the same number there as well. So the under is going to be a decision for us tomorrow night here. And again, hoping that, I know Aaron Donald didn't make the trip. He's not going to be there. That really wasn't part of the handicap for me anyway here for week number one. I just think it's more of that kind of slow start to the season. I don't think we're come out guns blazing. Probably going to look to a first half under as well in that game. Have not got there officially, but under 49 is an official play. And the over in tonight's game, I did get there late here at 44.5. I wish I still had the 44s out there to be had, but I'm going to play this. The secondaries we talked about a lot in this program today really lacks a lot, I think. And I'm kind of worried about the running games a little bit for both teams here with injury to their lead dogs here for both teams. If you look at Travion Henderson as a lead dog for New England, he's not going to be available tonight. And I think that puts more of an onus here on Drake May and Sam Darnold. I think those guys will be fine with that too. I think they're going to be just fine in the passing game here. We know Christian Gonzalez got the big deal here for New England at corner, but I think Drake May could have a big night as well tonight. Going to play that over 44.5 as an official play here for week one. Have not gotten to the side, Jensen. That might be a live ad for me as the game goes. So again, please feel free to give a follow on X. I'll update those in real time if I make plays as the game is going on. By the way, live betting for you. Are you more set it and forget it? Or are you going to be looking for live opportunities as week one kicks off tonight?
Absolutely. Be looking for a middle opportunity tonight. If the Patriots do get out to an early lead, we'll come back probably on the Seahawks somewhere. Haven't gotten to the total on this game tonight, Dave. I actually lean more to the under, but we will wait and see as numbers and money come in late. Cannot wait, buddy. Going to be a lot of fun.
Absolutely love it. We love our conversations with Wes Reynolds. I know he's got a lot of thoughts in the NFL and college football as well. The great Wes Reynolds. Wednesdays with Wes, coming up next right here. VSiN by the Books.
Books right here on VSiN.
The wait is over. The NFL season kicks off tonight. College football already in full swing. No better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. So with this VSiN Pro subscription, not only do you get all of our post-preseason updates getting you ready for kickoff tonight, college football, you can still look at all 138 FBS teams, breakdowns on all those squads here as you get ready for week two, daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can get started for as little as $9.99 or save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. We're very excited about this, getting a lot of people chiming in on social media about the Rams and their travel over to Melbourne. So, Jensen, I think people are going to be looking at this in very different ways, right? Kyle Shanahan, the boys have been over there for quite some time now, getting acclimated to Melbourne. Rams, I believe, is this like Santa Claus? What's that, like the NORAD tracker? Well, do we know where the Rams are right now, Jensen? Because I think they're still en route. Yeah,
they are still en route. By the way, we do have the great Wes Reynolds joining us, of course, host of the Long Shots podcast, joining us here in the Progressive Guest Line. Wesley, great to have you. Would you rather be the team that goes over and has a week to kind of get acclimated there in Australia? Or would you rather be on the bird now, hydrating left, right, and center, having to use the lavatory every hour, and then be able to jump right back on the bird and go home?
Well, Jensen, are the Rams awake? Because they might have stayed up late to watch the Shelton Alcaraz match like I did. we're a little bit woozy this morning, but well worth staying up to watch that classic. But to answer your question, I would rather be the 49ers, I think, you know, to get just kind of used to the time change. But everybody has a different process for how they prepare. And look, McVay's proven he knows what he's doing. We'll see how it is. The market certainly doesn't think it's a big deal because that number's up to four, because it's been all good news for the Rams this summer and all bad news for the 49ers. So haven't bet this game yet, but would lean San Francisco in the spot. Shanahan, maybe not as recently, but at least in series history, he's gotten the better of McVay more often than not.
Yeah, fascinating that you're seeing some four, some 3.5 still out there as well. So check the juice on those numbers as they change. We've seen a subtle move here in the game tonight to kick off the NFL season, down to 3 in most spots here. You can still find some rogue 3.5s out there. Totals ticked up a little bit to 44.5 as well tonight here with Seattle and New England to kickstart the season. You know, it's funny, Wes, because normally you think all offseason to talk about this Super Bowl matchup. It felt like with New England, we were talking about anything other than this football game tonight. How do you break down Mike Vrabel and company going to the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, Dave, and that's one of the reasons I did take New England, even though we're trying to buck the long-term trend here of the Super Bowl loser, who I believe is, 6-20 against the number the last quarter century in their first game. But we're going to try to buck that trend. I took New England tonight. I think another way to play it, too, is to play Seattle under 24.5 on the team total. You got to lay a little bit extra juice for that. But I think New England, this is good for them to go like across the country with all the distractions, everything that's gone on, certainly off the field, and to get back out there and play the team that beat you last season. And I kind of thought New England was a little bit on the fortunate side. So I guess you could say that there's going to be regression because they played that easy schedule early last year. Now it's certainly much tougher that you were the AFC champions. But I like the Patriots here. I think it is going to be a low-scoring game, so I'm a little bit surprised that the total has ticked up. Maybe not as surprised considering it's the first game of the year and you're getting a lot of the general public involved, and they're certainly going to want to be on the over more often than not than the under. But I thought the line was a little bit rich here, so I'm on the Patriots.
I like it. Let's stay with your neck of the woods here, because one of our great parts of the VSiN NFL betting guide, the original that we've put out, the head-to-head trends each week for each opponent on our NFL schedule. And I know a game that you will have your eyes squarely locked on. That is Daniel Jones, the Indianapolis Colts, and the Baltimore Ravens getting underway from Lucas Oil Stadium. The trend to bring up to you, Colts 10-2 ATS the last 12 times, and the under the last 15 head-to-head has hit 13 of the 15 times. You might be going against a decade and a half of a historical trend head-to-head. Wes Reynolds, what do you got on that?
Yeah, I am. I'm going with the over here at 47.5. You're right. Indiana Jones did not play in the preseason, but going to be back and hopefully ready to go for Colts fans. Obviously, that season went awry when he tore that Achilles. But I think that the Colts offense is still going to be very good, despite the fact that they're still kind of looking for that number one receiver, right? Michael Pittman now gone to the Steelers and, you know, not a lot, at least on paper, coming back at that position, very young and unproven, but have a good young tight end in Tyler Warren, who certainly had a good rookie year. One of the best running backs in Jonathan Taylor, a good offensive line that can run the ball against the Ravens team. That's a little bit in transition on defense. Now, Jesse Minter takes over, got some new faces there. Of course, Lamar certainly can move the ball pounder through the air. So I actually think maybe we get a little bit of a slow start, and then in the second half, it kind of opens up. I got a lot of questions also about that Colts defense, like who's going to rush the passer. We've been asking for a consistent pass rush with Indianapolis since Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis have been playing, and one of them just went into the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago. So that tells you how long it's been that they've had a really consistent pass rush. And I think that you're in trouble if you don't get one against Lamar Jackson. So over for me in Indianapolis.
Wes, I got to tell you, going back to our green zone days, I don't know anybody does it better than you at those kind of halftime adjustments of that. So I'm already earmarking that maybe an over under first half and look to the over in that second half. You get that slow start in that Ravens Colts game there. Talk about injured quarterbacks coming back here. And Monday night, we got two of them. We got Patrick Mahomes, who seems like he gets all the oxygen in the room because he's Patrick Mahomes. And yet we're not really talking about Bo Nix and what he's going to look like coming back from a devastating injury in the last play of that victory against the Buffalo Bills in the postseason. What do you make of this Monday night clash? By the way, the side has come down off that key number of three down to 2.5, and the total sitting there at 44.
Yeah, under 44 for me, Dave. One thing we're not talking about is the Broncos defense, which was arguably the best in the league. Certainly Houston was also right up there in that regard. But I think you have a Chiefs team clearly on offense that's getting a little bit older, you know, still very productive and still very capable. But if you watch these Chiefs teams, especially if they get out to a lead, they are a very slow tempo team. They are not, because people think, oh, they're so dynamic and high scoring with Mahomes and Kelce and company, but they actually really slow it down, work the clock a little bit, kind of grind it out. Both these teams, I think, really do that. So I think you're going to see kind of an old school AFC West, maybe like a 20-17 type of game. Your guess is as good as mine is who's going to end up winning the game, but I don't see a lot of points here early on. I think you get some slow starts with these two teams.
Tend to agree. I like the Broncos outright on Monday Night Football as well, and be very intrigued to see what the aged offense of the Kansas City Chiefs looks like there in Arrowhead. Okay, aging not well. That is Michigan, the controversy that has surrounded them this week. The MAC was okay with the no, they're not okay with it. We filed an appeal. Michigan was a 1.5 favorite in the look-ahead line for week 2 against Oklahoma. They're now 5.5-point dogs at home. Wes, do you buy the line move here, or do we think we're kind of overvaluing what we saw in week 1?
I'm going to go ahead and go and get them at the bottom with the Michigan Wolverines here, +5.5. A team I'm not that high on. Like, I think that they're probably, Jensen, like an 8-4 team. Certainly that's what we wrote up in the betting guide, but everybody's been all over them. How bad Bryce Underwood looked, and he did look bad, but I just think this is a little bit of an overreaction to an Oklahoma team that's got to prove it a little bit on the road. They've certainly been good down there in Norman, but they've got to prove it on the road. I think that this has just gotten a bridge too far when it reached 6 at one point earlier this week, and then you've seen it come down a little bit.
I agree. I totally agree. By the way, people can't see you today, but you are rocking some cool Indiana garb. I got to ask you, they're +950 to repeat under Kurt Cignetti. I think you guys call it chapter 3 in Indiana. What do you make after week 1 of the Hoosiers big picture?
It's a fair value. I think they looked a little bit sloppy in the opener, maybe didn't run the ball as well, didn't stop the run as well, had a couple corners go down who should be day-to-day and should be back maybe this week for Howard. But, you know, Josh Hoover was as good as advertised. Josh Hoover, I think, couldn't have had a better debut for Indiana. So I'm not worried about that offense. It's just improving that depth a little bit on defense. And it won't be tested for about another month, but eventually it will be tested. So got to win these early games and keep getting better.
I promise you we're going to talk President's Cup at one point here, but football just dominates, Wes. Great stuff as always. Everybody, we appreciate you watching. We'll break down what we see tonight in the NFL tomorrow, but if you want more VSiN, and we know you do, you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network YouTube TV, all you have to do is go to VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin, they're up next.